Our Father and our God, we give you praise and we give you glory, Lord. We say thine is thy kingdom, thine is thy power, and thine is thy glory. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power. In thy hand is might, in thy hand it is to make great, in thy hand it is to save, in thy hand it is to heal, in thy hand it is to keep us from evil. Now therefore, O Lord, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. And as our manner is, each time we gather together for fellowship around the word of God, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding to the simple. We rejoice in that light and in that understanding today. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, welcome back to the house. If you have been away for a bit, the last few days since the consecration, we've been trying to, you know, raise faith levels. You know, just raise your faith level, you know, and the expectation level. Because right now, the thing that is, our sights are set on September to remember. So these messages, geared towards raising expectation, raising faith, praise the Lord. You know, so we've talked about, you know, a few things around faith, the last few days, you know, so we've been talking about pressing forward, you know, going farther and climbing higher. We talked about pressing forward daily and leaving behind the past, looking forward. Today, let's bring it from a different perspective. All the same thing about faith. I want to talk about faith and patience today. God be the glory. Faith and patience, you know, how they work together to producing joy and victory through tribulations and testing. You know, you can't put that whole title like that. It's too long for the room. So we just abbreviated it to faith and patience working together. But faith and patience are working together for a reason. It's to produce joy and victory through tribulations. That's what we are going to be talking about. And, we will talk about the subject of faith. As many of you know, that's my favorite subject. Bring it in one angle or another, always, you know. This whole Bible is all about faith. One way or another, you know, faith lessons throughout the Bible. And so we'll talk about that. And I will introduce patience today. And I wrote it this way, so you can expect that there will be some kind of an acronym that will be given. I love these acronyms. It helped me, you know, personally, you know, when thinking on the subject. I see, I think of it this way, and I think of it that way. You know, so I've given an acronym about faith before. I will introduce one about patience today, and you guys know I love acronyms. So, but let's get started. I want to read a background scripture here in the book of James. And let's get started here. I'm going to read from James chapter 1. My brethren, he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and tribulations. What temptation there, that's what it means. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, so you see, he's talking about trying of your faith. A trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So right there we see that it's putting faith and patience together. It's saying, well, your patience, I mean, faith will walk with patience to make you perfect. That's really what he's saying. You know, faith is doing its thing, and you come in with patience as well, and together you have a perfect work. So they are both of them working together, make us perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. You know, so let's talk about faith first, and then we'll talk about patience. You know, faith, as we know, the scripture, there's actually one verse of scripture. There are many, but one verse of scripture that people like to refer to when they give the definition of faith. Well, I have my own. But the scripture gives this Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance, he said, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's faith, and it's so powerful. And right away, you see that faith has a substance to it. It's not abstract. So it's the substance, you know. It's not just some abstract thing. In fact, you know, I believe, and I've been teaching, that, you know, you can make faith a science rather than an art. You know, you can perfect it, perfect the process of faith. I mean, you walk through it. You've got a system that works. You do it each time, and it works every time. And now that's faith. Praise the Lord. Faith, without faith, the scripture says, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Not too many things, you know, in not too many things do we have the word impossible used with God in the same sentence. You know, but this one, you say, well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's why we preach on faith all the time. It was faith that translated Enoch so that he should not see death. All of us are waiting for the translation and the coming of the Lord. So you better get your faith on. You know, because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Even when we are praying for different things in our lives, without faith, you can't get anything from the Lord. It's not just your prayer. It's your faith. Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, shall receive. So you can ask, but if you are not believing, you may not receive. I mean, you know, that scripture alone, if you decompose it, that's what it means. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, shall receive. And we know that faith is believing, you know, and believing is also faith in action. So if you do not believe, even though you may be asking, you may not receive anything. And if you don't believe the promises of God, even though you may hear them every day, it may not work for you, you know. So the people, you know, that received the promises of God, you know, at one time, they said, well, it was not mixed with faith in their hearts. And so it did them no good. You can read that in Hebrews 4. It said, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, or unto us is the gospel still being preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, so if we hear the word of God and it's not mixed with faith, it's not going to do us any good. If we pray and it's not mixed with faith, it's not going to do us any good. And so this faith is so important. Jesus was teaching faith in many places throughout the Gospels and so on. You know, in this place in Luke 18, was also teaching faith. The way in which it was recorded in this particular place, he said, well, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, so in a way you might think of endurance there, or persistence, or resilience through situations and not giving up. I mean, he gave all these stories. The unjust judge, the woman that would not give up. In Luke chapter 11, he was teaching in another place. He gave a story about the friend was knocking on his friend's door to get something late in the evening. I got a visitor from out of town. Stores are closed. And I borrow some bread. Pay you back in the morning when the store's open. Man from within says, go away. My kids are in bed. But the man outside keeps knocking. And Jesus said, well, the man from within, in order for him to get rid of this man that's about to wake up his children, he's got to get up and give him what he wants. Not because he's his friend, but because the man is bothering him. And so, you know, these scriptures, even though they look so simple and childlike, are so powerful. You know, so powerful. Isaiah 62, 6 and 7 says, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest. You know, set watchmen to do that. Give the Lord no rest. And scriptures invite us to do that. Jesus invites us to do that. Say, keep asking, you know. And then in this place, he said, in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, you know, leading up to that, I was talking about, look, keep asking. You see what the unjust judge said? You know, shall not even God then, you know, answer you? Say he will. Even though there's a delay, he will answer you. So I'll be talking about delay today as well. And endurance through that delay. He will answer you, he said. He'll answer you speedily. But then he says one thing very strange. You know, he says, well, I mean, remember, he's talking about that men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is the context that he's talking about here. And he gave this lesson about the woman who's troubling the judge. And trouble me, you know, look, even though I don't care about justice for her, you know, and I don't even fear God. The man was even bold enough to say, look, I couldn't care less about God. But this woman, if I don't give her what she wants, she's going to weary me out, because it doesn't matter. She come in the morning, all day long. Nobody, you know, gives her any time of day. You're not on the docket. Go away. She'll stay there till the courthouse closes. And she'll be back the next day. And then, and on and on. And this man, you know, and you know, these are small courts. You know, so, you know, a small incident like that, you know, is well noticed. So the woman, finally, the court is saying, look, you know, get rid of this woman. I said, well, we can't. Every day she comes back. I said, okay, well, you know, let me just do what she wants. That way she'll stop bothering me. This is what Jesus was talking about. Think about it. It's so powerful. And he said, well, you know, shall not even God also, your Father, give you these things, even though there is some delay? So keep asking until you get it. Well, basically, you know, I want to underscore that and say, keep bugging the Lord. You know, give him no rest, you know, just, you know, tell him today, tell him tomorrow, mix it with praise, of course, tell him again, tell him again, tell him again, you know, and then listen to this thing that Jesus said. You know, he said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. And all of a sudden, it seems like he's shifting gears, but he's not. Because he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Now, if the only thing that Jesus was talking about here was his coming for the church, which is how people interpret this thing. Because it's when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, yeah, he is talking about that, actually. But Jesus has a way, you know, where he can be talking of one thing and talking of multiple things at the same time. Like, you know, destroy this temple, you know, And in 3 days, I raised up. People thought it was talking about the temple. I will build my church. People thought it's talking about some building, you know, and just as a way. But the thing he said is very significant. When Jesus comes, shall he find faith on the earth? If we believe he was talking about the translation, which he was, faith is what he is looking for. So there's faith for translation. If you believe that he was talking about your daily needs, because this is what he started talking about, which he is, then faith is what he's talking about here as well. Now, this means in another way, when the answer finally comes, will that answer find you still at the point of faith? That's the way I interpret this. Actually, the way the Holy Spirit interpreted it to me some years ago. And from that time, I say, wow. Yeah, it's not just about translation that he's talking about here, because you have to read the context of what he's talking about. You know, and then I say that, wow, it means that I got to keep believing till the end of whatever the thing is. I can start believing and asking God, may I get it immediately, 1 hour, 1 day, 2 days, 1 week, 1 month. No. I cannot stop. I got to keep believing. Because one day, God will dispatch the answer. And will he meet me still at the point of faith? Or would I have run off and given up, you know, and be start to grumble and complain? Children of Israel, they did that all the time. And many times, when the answer is right around the corner, that's when people give up. That's a story in Exodus 15, we read a popular verse out of that in verse 26, where it says, I'm the Lord that healed thee. But there is a story in that chapter besides that and beyond that. But as these children of Israel were grumbling about everything, first it was no water. And then when there was water, it was bitter. You know, and even though God took care of it, they were grumbling about everything. Wanted to go back to Egypt, complaining, murmuring, grumbling. But the scripture says, well, right around the corner, you know, there was this place called Elim, just around the corner. And God had prepared some marvelous things for them. And they were wandering through the wilderness and they thought they're going to die. We're going to die in this wilderness. There's no water. When we find water, it's not drinkable. It's this and that, you know. And the scripture says, well, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. They were just around the corner. But they were grumbling. And their hearts, they even wanted to turn back to Egypt. But it was right around the corner. See, this thing that God had prepared was just right around the corner. It was a resting place for them. It's just around the corner. But they kept complaining and murmuring. You know, so don't be like that. Don't be that guy, you know, that you keep complaining, whereas your miracles are just right around the corner. Now, faith, taken as an acronym, I've given this before, is actually active endurance. You're actively believing God. Faith, fully and intentionally trusting him. That's my acronym for faith. You know, you are intentional about it. It's not accidental. You know, you take the word of God, you believe on it, you act on it. So fully and intentionally trusting him. It's an acronym, a good one for faith. And it also indicates actively believing God through the process and active endurance as well. But on the subject of endurance, I will talk more about patience in a bit, but, still talking about faith, you know, James was talking about faith, the trial of your faith, you know, patience, and both of them working together to produce victory and so forth. Well, faith is not produced by your trials, but rather it is tested through the trials. Faith is produced according to Romans chapter 10, faith is actually produced by how we ingest the word of God. That's what produces faith. It's not your trial that's going to produce your faith. Your faith will be tried during those difficult times. But your faith, you produce that faith, is what it depends on how much of the word of God you ingest. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, we've defined faith in Hebrews 11, but we are defining how to get it here, you know, in Romans chapter 10. So faith comes by hearing. In other words, your faith, in order for it to be valid, must be based on the word of God. Romans 10 and 17. That's what that means. You must ingest that word. You got to ingest that word. That's the only thing that can produce real faith. Well, it can be strengthened through trials, you know, and through the experience that you gain through, you know, various testings and so forth. We'll read some of them, some of these things. Now, but faith, you know, for a believer, faith is as critical to your life as your heart is to your body. you know how the heart is. If the body, you know, the heart stops beating, that guy is dead. You know, that's why you got to protect that heart. But faith is like that too. You know, when your faith stops working, you're dead, spiritually speaking. You know, so you got to make sure that faith is always working. Even salvation, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You cannot be saved except by faith. Can't do it. You know, so everything revolves around faith, you know. Even it is faith that helps us to understand the things of God. He said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. I mean, faith is what gives us that understanding. When you come to God, you got to believe. So, well, how do I get faith then? Well, read the word of God. You read the word of God, hear the word of God, meditate upon it, and so forth. It will produce faith. Repeat it. It will produce faith. Now, your trials will not produce faith, but when you endure those trials through faith in God's promises, that will produce patience. You know, so patience is like confidence while waiting. I mean, you just patiently wait, you know, and so forth. Now, trials won't produce the faith, like I said, but when you endure the faith, I mean, your trials through faith, it will produce patience. That's what James is talking about. Unfortunately, though, many times people allow their trials to lead to bitterness and discouragement. And that's what happens if you do not receive those trials with faith and joy. You know, now, if you do receive them with joy, well, they will produce victory eventually. So we must be intentional when we're passing through trials, intentional with passing through it with joy and with patience. The answer of faith in any situation is resilience, endurance, and it will produce patience and joy through the tribulation. That's so powerful. This is how they work together. You obtain God's promises also through faith and patience. They work together. Hebrews chapter 6. Let me read to you from verse 11. You know, how the scripture ties faith and patience together. Faith and patience together. You know, it's so important for us to see the connections. That's what I'm trying to bring out today. You know, he said, look, we desire that every one of you should show the same diligence, the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, and that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith and patience. So you have faith, but you also got to have patience. You believe that God's going to do something for you, that's faith. Well, you must patiently wait for it. You cannot, you know, give up just because God didn't do it immediately. And there's a lot of things that God does immediately. But if he doesn't do it immediately, then you must with patience wait for it. And then we must walk together. So the scripture says again in Hebrews 10 and 36, ye have need of patience. If you have faith, then you need patience also. You know, now, some of us who have faith, we don't have patience to go with it. God must do it now, now, now. Well, maybe, and maybe not, you know, but one way or another, you will get it, but you must patiently wait for it. You know, so you have need of patience. We all have need of patience. You know, we need patience and so forth. After you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Why after? You know, after you've done the will of God, you know, the will of God could be, you know, to teach you a few things, to strengthen you through a few things. You know, I said yesterday in the lesson that just because God told you to do something doesn't mean that there won't be obstacles. In fact, God himself might put obstacles in front of you as part of your testing. We saw that in the story of Moses. Yeah, and God sent him to go and confront Pharaoh. And God said, I will harden his heart. So God's the one hardening the man's heart. And that's making Moses' job even much tougher. Why are you sending me to go tell this man to release your children when you are going to harden his heart and you are telling me he will not release them? You know, why? Well, that's a great lesson of, look, God can do whatever he wants, best known to him. Well, in this case, he told us the reason, that I may get me renown and fame, you know, and so forth. So he continued to harden, you know, Pharaoh's heart. But it's almost like God put an obstacle in front of Moses. Even though God told him to go and do it, God said, I'm going to harden the man's heart and he will not let you go. But go tell him that you need to go. But he will not let you go. You know, so we covered that yesterday. What does patience look like? Well, let's talk about patience. We'll take it as an acronym to help us see, you know, what all the flavors and attributes of patience might be. What are all the attributes of this patience? God be the glory. I want you to take each letter. Take each letter of the word patience. And let's look at it. It's spelled P-A-T-I-E-N-C-E. So quite a few letters. Let's take a look at it. Let's see if we can come up with something there that might, you know, help us on this journey. Yeah. See what we might come up with. The first letter, P, for instance, P could mean any number of things. But since we're talking on the subject of faith and patience, well, let's use P for prayer. You know, let's use P for prayer. So we need to pray. You know, something says, you know, some people say, well, pray until something happens. It's push. You know what I'm saying? Well, we need to pray you know, in this case though, we pray until peace replaces the pressure. You know, just pray until you get peace. You know, sometimes when we're asking things from God, you know, one of the ways that we know whether or not we receive the answer is when we get peace in the situation. It doesn't mean that you have received the answer. I mean, we read that, we saw that in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. He said, when something is troubling you, he tries to encourage us not to be anxious. He said, but commit the thing to God through prayer and so forth. And he said, you have peace. So when you get peace, that's your answer. Whether he has physically removed the storm or not, but you receive peace. So when you pray, think of the P as pray until peace is, you know, replaces the pressure that you're feeling. You're under pressure. You are under burdens and different things. You pray until you receive peace, or you feel the peace. And you can also, you know, some people say, yeah, I get a release. Well, whatever that is, pray to that point. And then you have that. You know, sometimes, you know, we teach people, young people and so forth, that look, when you have these negative premonitions or negative dreams or different things, or you hear negative things, you got to pray and cancel the thing. Now, you pray, though, until you get the peace, you know, that issue is resolved. So that's the P. Now, following the P, we have the A, right? So you got to accept God's timing as perfect, you know. So, you know, we can't always fit God into a box. We can't do it. Try to fit God into the box of, you know, our plans. I mean, we want God to do it this way and we want God to do it at this time. Well, yeah. But that's a good thing, you know. But believe God for it, but must also realize that He is sovereign and we've got to accept His timing as perfect. And that's the problem at times, you know, when we do not know how to accept God's timing as perfect. And it causes us to get into situations where we stress ourselves and stress ourselves and stress ourselves. You know, but if you can learn how to accept God's timing as perfect, think of, some people say delay is not denial. Well, it's actually more like, you know, a divine alignment with God's purposes and timing. Because God is never late. Rather, He's strategic. So God has a plan. We may not understand it. He may not share it either. You know, He may, and He may not. But even if He doesn't share it, you got to trust Him. You know, that's where trust, you know, comes in. You know, do you trust the Lord even though, you know, you don't understand? Can you trust Him? You know, if you have a little child that's, you know, trying to jump from somewhere and you are there trying to catch them, you're the parent, say, you know, jump. You know, they'll just jump. But they trust you that you're going to catch them. You know, so do we trust the Lord that He will always catch us? Well, yeah. You know, so but that delay that we may experience in, you know, just think of it as, you know, God's timing. I don't understand it, but it's God's timing. He's not late. He will be on time. He has a strategy, has a plan. When Lazarus was sick and Jesus delayed to go and waited until Lazarus died, that was a plan in his mind. Even though he said, well, this sickness is not unto death. Well, but the man actually died. So what do you mean by it's not unto death? You know, well, because he said it's not unto death, it means that The end result means it will not be death. That's what it means. So even though man may die in the interim, Jesus already said it's not final, so that means he will reverse it. I mean, there's a lot of things Jesus already revealed there, but nobody understood what he was talking about until it actually happened. Well, when the man finally died, Jesus said the man is sleeping. They said, well, if he's sleeping, he's fine. He said, well, okay, let me speak your language. The man is dead. But for your sakes, I was glad that I was not there to the end, that you could believe that even death, grave, all these things mean nothing. It is Son of Man. And call him out of that grave too, which eventually did. Now the T, not to be left out, trust. You know, when you're talking about patience, you cannot leave out trust. I mean, trust is more like, you know God is there walking when you don't even see what he's doing. You get me? You know, tell me to jump, I'll catch you. You don't know whether he's going to catch you or not. You can't even see his hands, but you just know that if you jump, he will catch you. You know that he will be there. Said, I will be there. You can't see it happening. I mean, many times we wish that we see it, but we don't see it. So you got to trust what he said. You know, when he said in Isaiah 43:2 that, look, when you pass through the fire and all these things, I will be with you. It will not overwhelm you and all that. Well, sometimes when you are in the fire, still passing through, you don't see him. And you can't see him. But what you have is his promise. You know, when you can't see him, well, what do you see though? You got to see him through his promise. If he says, I'll be there, then you have to see him through that promise. And you know, sometimes if you look, you will actually see him. But most times we don't see him. And that's okay. You know, trust is that confidence in the unseen. Or it's faith too. You know, say faith is evidence of what you've not yet seen. It's a way of trust when you just, enjoy it through the process. It's the same kind of thing. Patience is kind of, you think of patience as faith stretched over time, or trust stretched. You know, you believe him and you keep on believing. You trust him even when you can't see him. When you don't see what he's doing, you still trust him that he's doing it anyway, because of what he said. That's the T. What about the I? We're spelling out patience here. Well, I, a good one, is interpret this waiting season as a time of preparation. God is always preparing us for things. You know, all the things that David went through in the wilderness and so forth, preparing him for something. Even all the time, even after he was anointed to be king and he was still not yet king, God was still preparing him. Going through many things. You have to interpret your waiting season as God's preparation. It's not wasted. God doesn't, like I said, a couple of times before, I think I said, God doesn't throw dice with our lives. Just, he doesn't know the outcome. He just throw it out there and see what happens. No, he already knows the exact outcome and masterfully orchestrating everything. And so we got to trust him that, look, this season that is, I'm waiting, even though it may be painful, I've got to interpret it as some kind of preparation. You know, God is developing, something, preparing me for something, making me ready for something that he has actually prepared. See, God has prepared something, but I've got to be prepared for that which God has already prepared. See? So sometimes, that process of waiting is like that. You have to interpret it like that. That's the I. And then, of course, we have the E. You can't talk about patience without talking about endurance. You know, I mean, you got to endure hard times, you know, with the hope that, you know, God has something good at the end of it, at the end of the tunnel, as people say, you know, endure, you know. 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul was telling Timothy, you know, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you must endure hardness. You know, people who can't endure, they soon give up. We talked about that yesterday as well. When you meet obstacles, if you can't endure, you soon give up. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, he waited patiently for the Lord. Well, what does that mean? It means through it all, you're still waiting. Psalm 40 verses 1 to 3. God will use those trials of our faith to teach us patience. When I finish going through this acronym of patience, I'll give you some more scriptures where these two things work together. You know, we'll look at it. We'll look at a few more scriptures. Praise the Lord. So, that's the I. We've talked about the E, sorry. Enduring hard times, you know. So, you might think of endurance. You know, when you go to the gym, you do this thing called endurance training. There's all kinds of fitness programs that athletes do. Remember once upon a time in my life, I had to do speed training. I had to do strength training. I had to do endurance training. You know, they all have different, you know, different things that you go through. Well, think of endurance as building muscle of patience, you know, yeah. Ruggedness, endurance, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You go through it, you endure it. And so that endurance is that muscle, you know. And while you're enduring, we're going to read some scriptures about that. The hope that comes or that you must engage in is what your spirit will rely on to prevent you from collapsing. Under the pressure. You got to keep hope alive. Some people say, keep hope alive, keep hope alive. You know, and some people say, don't give me false hope. I've been waiting for this thing forever. They don't even want to hear it again. Don't give me any hope. Why not? You know, we got to keep hope alive. Endurance is that muscle of your patience. Now, I hope you're getting writing these things down. So I've gone through the P, the A, the T, the I, and the E. Well, let's talk about N, you know, spelling patience and going through it as an acronym. What about the N? Well, a good one might be navigate. So navigate delays, you know, without complaining and murmuring. You know, yes, that's part of patience. You got to be able to handle these things. Now, when you are complaining and murmuring and doing all these things that children of Israel used to do, well, it's like a fog, fogs your eyes. You can't see clearly. You can't hear even clearly. It clogs our minds. We don't even remember what God said because the complaining is all we're doing rather than putting the word of God in front of us. Complaining, no. You know, we just block our minds from that. But rather than complaining, you can praise the Lord. One person said, you know, when you're knocking the door, waiting for it to be opened, you know, make sure you're doing that in the corridor of praise. You're waiting, you know, worship and praise rather than complaining and murmuring will keep your heart and your mind. He said, the peace of God will keep your hearts and mind. It will keep your heart aligned with God's will. In fact, if you learn to do away with complaining and navigate those delays through worship and, you know, praise and faith in the Lord, somehow you begin to understand God's will even better. But those who complain and murmur and so forth, they will get nothing. And so man is to navigate delays without complaining. Now, complaining is what got the children of Israel into a lot of trouble. The golden calf and all these things, because they are complaining. Where is this Moses? Moses was only gone for 40 days, and yet they're complaining. Wow. If they themselves would have learned how to hear from God, when God said, I want you to hear from me directly, you know, and they wouldn't do it, then they wouldn't be needing Moses when Moses was not around. You could have been hearing from God yourself, but because you chose not to, now the man who's their quote-unquote medium has now been gone. So as for this Moses, well, we don't know what has happened to him. He's been gone now. Just a few days, you know. So they began to murmur and to complain. But we must learn to navigate through those delays. When the answer from God is pending, let's not turn to the golden calf. There's a message I preached about that a year or so, or some years ago. While the answer from God is tarries, is the golden calf next? See, this was the problem that complainers and murmurers end up with. Try to find some solution outside of God. Instead of waiting patiently for the Lord, like the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and Lord drew me out of many waters. In fact, drew me out of quicksand. You know, and set my feet on the rock, put a song in my mouth, and so on. Well, that was his testimony. In fact, he said, look, if I had to count all of the times that the Lord gave me deliverances and as testimonies, he said, look, time would fail me to count them all, but I had to patiently wait for them. David waited his time. When he had opportunity to take the law into his hands, twice he had the opportunity to kill Saul. And even the people around him were telling him, God has delivered your enemy, your greatest enemy, into your hands. Kill him already, and then you'll be free of these things. David wouldn't do it. He recognized and respected and honored the anointing of God that was upon Saul, even though Saul was already rejected. David said, no, that oil that was poured upon his head, I will never lift my hand against him. And God will deal with him, but not me. But he collected evidence to show, Saul that he was this close. I could have taken Saul's life. But he said, well, I didn't do it. Yeah, and I wouldn't do it. You know, but here's his testimony in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, that's like quicksand, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. You know, so while many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And, you know, blessed is the man, he said, maketh the Lord his trust. Respecteth not the proud, nor turn aside to lies. You know, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts towards us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I will declare them, speak of them. There are more that can be numbered. But I had to wait patiently for each one of those deliverances. You had to wait. You know, so that's what we must do, you know, while we navigate those delays. Now, what about the C as part of patience? Well, C is an opportunity for us to celebrate the small wins, right? Celebrate small successes while you're expecting the bigger advances. God has promised us quantum leap. Well, I don't see it. Well, celebrate the little things. It's part of patience. You know, celebrate the small wins. You know, every day there's a little thing that God did for you. You know, sometimes we pray about big things and sometimes we pray about little things. And sometimes we pray about both kinds of things. But, you know, sometimes you get, you know, some little successes, some little wins. Celebrate them. In things that we are doing in life also, celebrate the little wins. You know, the major ones may be coming, but celebrate the little ones that God has given. So the C is for us to celebrate. You know, let's not think of patience as just being passive. You know, no, it's a slow motion, but it's still action, but it's slow motion. It's like, well, God didn't do it immediately. He may not do it immediately, but I'm going to hang in there. You know, so that's how we use our faith and patience together. Celebrate the little wins. Whatever it is that God gives us out of his hand, celebrate. Remember, he openeth his hands and satisfieth the desires of every living thing. Anything we get is from God. He said he is the one that gives all good things come from him, the Father of lights. So the little things that we may get while we're waiting for the big and the great advances and great wins, celebrate them. That's the C. Celebrate the goodness of the Lord. And even when things don't turn out the way we expected them or haven't turned out the way we expected them, well, celebrate the things that have turned out. Yeah, there's always something that we can go back and say, the Lord did this. There's always something. Praise the Lord. So, celebrate. Celebrate the little things. Even while you're waiting for the bigger wins, the greater advances. And last but not the least, the E. You can't talk about, I mean, there's two E's here. One is endure. And this last one, you can't talk about patience without talking about expectation. You know, faith and expectation, they all go together. You know, that is the engine that keeps this thing going. It's like hope. You know, if God began it, then you know that he will complete it. And if you've listened to some of my sayings for a little bit of time, you will realize that we now say that God already completed it before he actually finished. I mean, before he actually started. He already finished it first. You know, but, you know, because that which has is yet to be, according to Ecclesiastes 3 and 15, has already been. Well, we know what that means in real life. I mean, that man is saying that there's nothing new under the sun. You know, what you are about to, or what you are experiencing or will experience tomorrow, somebody else has experienced it. But prophetically speaking, we know that that verse also means exactly what it says. What is yet to be has already been. So with God, it's already done. It's yet to unfold for me. But as far as God is concerned, it's already done. So expectation is that engine that keeps that patience alive. That God began it. We call him author and finisher. Well, he is author and he is finisher. And the Lord said concerning Zerubbabel, he said, the hands of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of this house. Well, his hands will also finish it. God wants us also to be finisher, just like him, author and finisher. You know, and if we can elevate ourselves or our faith to see things from God's perspective, you know that it's already done. Already done. There are many things in the scriptures that talk about things that God prepared before the foundation of the world for the elect. I mean, why? Why would he say things like that? Because it was already done. You know, Matthew 25, verse 34, for instance, says, the kingdom of God was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. It's already done before it even started. You know, and that's God. Think of our journey with God as a circle. Circle. Unless you mark something on that circle, you really can't tell where the end of it or the beginning of it is. Because if you're going around, right, at some point you come back to the point where you already passed through. That's a circle. A straight line is not like that. A straight line is a straight line. You know, you go, you're not returning. But a circle is like you can go around and come back to the same point where you were before. Well, think about it like that then. If God went ahead of you on that circle, right, he's already passed through it and you are just about to pass through it. So think of it like that. It's already happened. He's already passed through that circle. It's on that point, and you are coming around and getting there. You think it's just happening, but God's already made it happen because he's already passed through it. Think of it like that. So it's like it's already happened. God's passed through that way before. Hallelujah. So expecting God to finish what he started. Glory to God. That's so powerful. Let me put it all together for you again. Pray until peace relieves the anxiety. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. You know, accept the timing as God's. Who is he that has been the mind of the Lord? I should instruct him. You know, God knows what he's doing. Trust him through the process as a T. Interpret those delays as the I, you know, as an alignment, you know, and a season of preparation. Alignment with God preparing you for what he's already prepared. He said the Lord had prepared his work in the heavens even before anything happened. He prepared it. It's already done. Now, bringing us into seeing it. Hallelujah. It looks like he's still doing it. And yeah, in some cases, he's still doing some things. But, you know, for the most part, you can see that he's already done it. The greatest thing in our life, which is salvation, was prepared before the world even began. We're told that the Lamb was slain before the world began. Revelation 13 and 8. Slain. There was no Adam, there was no sin, there was nothing. Yet, the preparation, the sacrifice for the sin was already done before the world even began. That's it. That's the greatest thing in our lives. So every other little thing, follow pattern, follow suit. So, you know, interpret that as a season of waiting. Endure hard moments with hope. You know, that's the muscle of patience. Navigate those delays without complaining and murmuring and stuff. Because that will just blur your clarity, your vision. You blur that, you know, without complaining and so forth. Instead, you know, praise the Lord while you're waiting to align you with, to actually help you to understand what God's will is when you praise the Lord. It's the understanding the will of the Lord. Celebrate the little successes, you know, while you are expecting the bigger wins. And last but not least, expect that God will finish what he started. So that's patience for you. Let's see some more scriptures that tie these two things together. Patience and faith. They must always walk together. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, in your patience and through your patience, possess your souls. You got to use patience through life in everything. And the trials that we face, according to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 5, explains it this way. These things all work together. He said, you know, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that, you know, these trials work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed. And so for these things all work together. Romans 12 and 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That means steadfastly, without giving up. You know, that's what continuing instant in prayer means. You're always there. You never give up. Praise God. And we must have hope through the trials, through the tribulations, that what God started, finish it, especially if we understand that he's already finished it before we even started experiencing it. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, powerful verse. Now the God of hope, well, he's called the God of peace, he's called the God of joy, he's called God of many things, many good things. Now, he calls him the God of hope. In another place, he called him the God of peace. You know? Now, the God of hope, fill your heart, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power, you know, of the Holy Ghost. That's right. And God is the one that's doing it. Now, strength and stability, you know, are developed through persistence. I mean, it comes from persistence through sufferings. And, you know, that's where your patience kicks in. First Peter chapter 5, verse 10 is a powerful illustration of that, giving us encouragement. Don't give up, you know, just because, you know, you're going through stuff. No, don't give up. He says, the God of all grace. Now, here he calls him the God of grace. The other place he calls him God of hope. Yeah, same God. God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Well, why not before? It's all part of the workings of God. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So, strength and stability, therefore, they come, you know, through the sufferings, you know. Persistence will be necessary when we're going through these things. And the result is, if we're persistent and we do it with joy, then we will receive strength and even stability. He said he will strengthen you, he will stabilize you, and he will settle you after that you have suffered a while. So those sufferings, he needs it. It's an ingredient in God's hands, and to get us, you know, tuned up, so to speak, build up that muscle that he wants us to build. Praise God. Strength and stability, you know, will be developed even more when we persevere through sufferings. That's right. So these are scriptures that tie faith and patience together like that. Remember, you must endure rough times and tough times as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and 3. Now, there are many people who have spoken unto us you know, the word of the Lord. He said, well, consider their faith, you know, because they themselves, they went through a lot of things. Consider their faith and patience also. Consider the faith and patience of Abraham. 25 years in waiting for the promise, Sarah along with him. Consider the faith and patience of Joshua and Caleb. These people are warriors. They were ready to go, but they didn't even, you know, the dividing of the land. Caleb will say it later. He said, look, you know the day that you and I were sent up by Moses and some others. And you know how I wholly believed the Lord in my heart and the others didn't believe. And you heard what the man of God said unto me that I will inherit. Well, now give me this mountain. And it was 45 years later. 45 years later. Well, he waited for it. And he got it. And he said, look, I am this day 85 years old. And the day that I went out, I was, you know, 45 years ago, I was 40. And I'm still as strong as I was then. And the promise that was given me, I'm here to claim today. 45 years later. Through faith and patience, Joseph, many, many years, at least 13 or more years that he went through there. And even the promise to Abraham himself, you know, not just the Isaac promise, but some promise that the Lord gave him in Genesis 15, 400 plus years, you know, before it will actually happen. At the time he didn't have a child, God was telling him, foretelling what will happen to his seed, but how that he would eventually bring them out with a strong hand. But 400 years or more later, for that thing finally happened. You know, so Jesus himself, knowing, you know, why he came, before the world began, he already knew. You know, he said, this commandment I received of my Father. You know, God sent him. He knew what he had to do, but he had to wait. There were 30 years in waiting. You know, 30 years that he had to wait. Get ready. Become a rabbi. You can't be a rabbi, you know, in Israel if you're not 30 years old or like that. You know, and he went through a lot of things. He also learned obedience through all the things for 30 years. I mean, why didn't he just jump out? He already knew what he had to do. What are you waiting for 30 years for? I mean, he waited 30 years to do a ministry that was only 3.5 years. Think about that. You know? I mean, you want to talk about patience? The Son of God already knew what he had to do from day one. It's not like he was learning what he had to do. He knew what he had to do. But God had to put him through the test. And we're told that he learned obedience at those things as a man. You know, it's patience through all those things too. For 30 years. So what is it that God has promised you or the calling that he has placed upon your hand? Sometimes, I mean, many, many years. Moses, yeah, went through a lot of things in his life. You know, 40 years, God had to put him through the wilderness to unlearn many of the ways of Egypt. 40 years. It's almost like if his life was wasted, but it wasn't wasted. God knows what he's doing. Nothing is ever wasted with God. He's got it all planned. Our responsibility is to yield our lives to him and let him work it all out. To God be the glory. So in closing this lesson today, let me summarize what we've talked about. We'll try to bring the relationship between faith and patience while we're going through trials and tribulations of life. There's hardly one person here today that can raise their hand and say, you know, I've not gone through or I'm not even going through. We're always going through. You know, these things are always there. These messages are to help us remember that God has never left you. He will never leave you either. But there are some things that He wants us to pass through. And there's a strengthening, endurance training, strengthens muscles when you are in the gym and you're doing physical fitness. Yeah. You do weights, you do the weights, you do resistance, so forth. So strengthen your muscles. And so strengthening our muscle, the muscle of patience, strengthening also the muscle of faith too. Patience is behind it all. If we had our way, many of us, we would, even those of us that say we have faith, which is a good thing, which we must have, because without it, you can't please the Lord. We would just have God do everything instantaneously if we had our way. You know, and I love that word in the Bible, immediately. I like to believe that God has gifted me with faith. And, I do get many things immediately, but most things may not be immediately. But the thing is this, faith never gives up. Real faith never gives up. Won't give up, won't give in. Stay right there, immediate or not. Stay with it. But while you're waiting, no grumbling. Do it with joy. Do it with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Even when you don't understand what He's doing. Even when you can't see Him, know that He's there with you. You know, I don't know whether Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown into the fire, initially saw what Nebuchadnezzar saw, or whether they saw or they didn't see. They knew that their God was able, and He was going to deliver them. Eventually, they did see. But they went. They were willing to go in, even without seeing. All they knew in themselves was the faith they had. They didn't see the angel of the Lord standing, in the midst of that fire waiting for them. They didn't see that before they were thrown into the fire. What they had was their faith. So, we know our God is able to deliver us, and He will deliver us. But even if He doesn't, if they had seen the angel of the Lord waiting there, they wouldn't say that. Even if He doesn't deliver us, we still will not bow. They were sold out. So they didn't know for sure that the angel of the Lord was going to be there or how the Lord was going to deliver them, but they knew the Lord could and would deliver them. So you may not see the arm of God's strength, how exactly He's going to do it. You just know that He's going to do it. That's where faith comes in. And your patience is for you to wait it out while He's doing it. Praise the Lord. That's another element too that we will bring out maybe sometime later. It's also called wisdom. This trial, you can't leave home without either of them. You gotta have faith. You gotta have patience. You gotta have wisdom. But wisdom is another lesson for another day. Praise the Lord. Good morning and good afternoon. God bless everybody. I'm going to pray and finish the lesson out here. Praise the Lord. Father, we love You. We give You praise. Thank You for the word of God. Thank You, Lord, for faith that is rising in our hearts each time we hear the word of God. And we thank You for the call today, not only to faith, but also to patience, that we must with, patience go through in order to enter the kingdom through many tribulations, we've been told. We've been told, Lord, You told us that, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and in the world we shall have tribulations and all these things, but we must with patience go through these things. Thank You, Lord, for patience that You're teaching us, faith that is rising, and we're building confidence while waiting. Lord, we thank You for giving us understanding to accept the timing as Yours and that Your knowledge is working, trusting You even when we can't see what You're doing, interpreting you know, this delay or what appears to be the waiting as a season of being prepared, and learning to endure and enjoying the goodness of God, and learning to also celebrate the little things while we are expecting that God will finish what he started. To God be the glory. The same God that called us unto virtue and glory, he will get us there. He didn't take us out of sin just to dump us now, you know, just dump us and leave us alone to just wallow in defeat. No, he will finish what he started. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.